Welcome back to A Closer Look on 90.1 WABE. Good afternoon. I'm Dennis O'Hare with Rose Scott. In his State of the City speech earlier this week, Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed says there are already plans to expand Atlanta's brand new streetcar system. Reports are the connection will be made to the Atlanta Beltline. The mayor has been a big advocate for a streetcar system here in Atlanta, but has it worked in places that have already tried it? Kevin Robillard is a transportation reporter for Politico. His article, "A Streetcar Not Desired?" Appeared in late December in Politico. Kevin Robillard joins us now from Washington. Kevin, welcome. Good to have you.
Great to be on.
Now, you cite the problems that some other cities have had with their streetcars. In fact, some have even given it up. But are there any situations that you think might actually be comparable to Atlanta?
It really depends city by city is how this has sort of ended up working out. In some places, it's been an incredible success. In other places, you know, this stuff hasn't even managed to get off the ground before people have started questioning it. And in some cases, shutting it down before construction can even start. So it's very difficult to tell. One loose pattern that some people have suggested that maybe it's working better in some smaller cities. Tucson, for example, has had a lot of success with it. That's not a city that you tend to think of as sort of a world metropolis like you might think of Atlanta. So there hasn't been a consistent pattern in where it's worked and where it hasn't.
So there's nothing that cities where it has not worked well even have in common in terms of their experience with it, huh?
The one thing where it hasn't worked well, and the one thing that's really leading a lot of the now criticism of streetcars, particularly from people who are transit supporters, people who are, you know, urbanists and want more transit in cities and want more density in cities, and you think would support streetcars, has been they've been very critical of basically any mixed-use streetcar. So that's where the streetcar is sharing a lane with regular traffic. Basically, the point there is, why not just run a bus? The idea being that the bus actually in many cases will get there faster. The counterpoint to that is that bus routes don't spur nearly the same development. For whatever reason, people, particularly tourists, it's thought of are much less likely to ride the bus than they are to ride a streetcar. And the flip side of that is that streetcars also generate a lot more development than bus routes do, because once you lay down a streetcar track, that streetcar track's going to be there, whereas you can change a bus route sort of any day of a week once you go through whatever planning process you sort of have to go through.
Yeah, I was going to get to that in terms of Atlanta, because the streetcar runs through, for instance, one of the places it goes through is Atlanta's historic Sweet Auburn area. Mm-hmm. And we have buses before that in these corridors, and the streetcar certainly has gotten attention and at least talk of development in ways that those buses never did.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you look at Tucson, for example, which is one city, probably the city where the streetcar appears to have had the most success, they've generated $1.5 billion in development within three blocks of the route. And so that alone is incredibly impressive. It is able to generate a lot of development. You know, the idea is that people want to live near this route. Bars and restaurants want to open near these routes. Businesses want to open near these routes and want to operate near these routes. You know, to a certain extent, it's a good way to signify that, you know, maybe this is a cool area, or this is an area where a lot of young people are going to live, and maybe those young people have a lot of disposable income to spend at these bars and restaurants and to spend on rent at these apartment complexes.
And on the point that you also raised, the idea of, okay, you've got tracks running down a street where cars go also. We certainly have had some accidents here in Atlanta in the early stages of our streetcar. But how much of that is simply just getting used to it again? I mean, they used to coexist back in the day. Mm-hmm. And so maybe this is just part of a learning curve. Is there any sort of evidence of that?
Yeah, and you've seen that in other places too. D.C., which is still in its testing phase with its streetcar, has had some problems, some of which, actually maybe even a majority of which, have proven to ultimately been the car's fault. It's not the streetcar operator. It's the car wasn't parked properly or something like that. But it isn't a huge problem if you look. The city with the most developed streetcar network is probably Portland, Oregon. It's not an everyday occurrence there to have an accident where a streetcar hits a car or vice versa. It is probably something where people have to get used to having the streetcar around again. Because, like you said, back in, you know, the 20s and 30s, streetcars and cars shared the road all the time. And that's something that people in these cities are going to have to get used to again. And I think that they probably will.
One of the critiques of streetcars has been that they're being pushed as economic development tools or just a feel-good thing, as opposed to something that actually gets people from place to place more efficiently. But Atlanta's mayor, Kasim Reed, has not just emphasized walkable neighborhoods. He's talked about connectivity with the streetcar to things like the Beltline, which we just mentioned, or to MARTA, the rapid transit system, and eventually to the airport. So that he says it's actually part of a transit network, not just a feel-good attraction for tourists. Does that make Atlanta any different from other cities that have tried this?
No, it doesn't. That is something that you really frequently hear people say. And you have seen these crop up in cities where there's already, you know, often there's a decent amount of public transit already. That said, people would say a bus route could have done the same thing, and it just, for whatever reason, people don't take the bus as often.
Have we been able to tell how critical it is for streetcars to become more than a novelty? I mean, Atlanta is a convention and tourist town, so those folks might use it, but how important is it to get the neighbors, the locals, to use it to get from place to place instead of just move between attractions like we have in our downtown?
That is an important step, and that is something that Tucson, I think, has said it's had a lot of success with this, with getting people to sort of make it basically their commuting tool. And that is sort of the big question, is whether or not these streetcars can be reliable enough for people to use them every single day to get around commuting. Because those tourists are going to provide a certain level, but to really have this steady day-to-day ridership number that you want, you need people who are riding the streetcar every single day. And I think the jury is still out on whether or not streetcars can actually fulfill that role.
But isn't the problem that the only way you'll find out if it works that way is to expand it and see if it works? But if you expand it and it doesn't work, then you've got a white elephant in the city.
Yeah, that is sort of the problem. You know, how much can you tell? D.C., for example, is going to open, I think Atlanta did the same, with just one line. And, you know, maybe that one line wasn't perfectly placed, or maybe there's something else going on there that prevents it from being a full success, and you never build the rest of the system. These systems take so long to build. Any transit project does. Any transportation project does, really. So it's very, very difficult to tell, you know, how much you need a system here versus how much these things can just be sort of one route and have that one route be effective.
One of the points you made in your article was that we've actually seen requests for federal funding for streetcar projects go down in the last few years. Could that, in a way, work to the benefit of Atlanta and other cities that are still developing them, because there'd be more federal money available in the pot for them?
Well, so the way it works isn't that there's a set amount set aside for streetcars generally. Pretty much all transit projects are grouped together for competing for the same amount of funds. Particularly, a lot of them have gotten money through the Obama administration's Tiger program, which basically the Obama administration uses that to pick out worthy projects that really deserve funds rather than just sort of give every state, you know, a flat amount of money and let them do what they will with it. The Obama administration is looking for specific projects they think could really be, you know, game changers is the term they often use. And so I don't necessarily think that there being fewer streetcar projects means each individual streetcar project has a better chance of getting funded. I think that basically if these projects prove their worth or can convince the Obama administration that they're worthy, then those projects will get that money. And so it's not like there's a set amount set aside for streetcars. And the other thing that's worth noting here is that the amount the federal government spends on stuff like streetcars is absolutely minuscule in terms of the total transportation budget. We spend dozens of times more on highways each year than we do on building transit projects like streetcars or subways.
As a final thought, let's take a look at what might be two warning signs for cities like Atlanta, which are trying to expand their streetcar projects. Number one, we now have a Republican Congress, and often Democratic lawmakers are more sympathetic to things like this. Is there any sign that things like Tiger, the program that you mentioned, might get cut by the GOP Congress?
That is possible. Republicans have talked about wanting to cut Tiger in the past. They've also talked about trying to reform it in different ways. There's been accusations thrown at the program that too much of the money sort of goes to big cities that tend to be where Democrats are. The chances of the program being eliminated entirely aren't very high, though, because ultimately the people who are on the key committees like the program at least a little. They like it enough that they're not going to want to kill it, and they, to a certain extent, they also don't want to pick the fight with the Obama administration. This isn't the hill they want to die on, so to speak.
This isn't Obamacare. They'll fight that one.
Yes.
And what are the warning signs, if you will, from cities where things have gone badly? You mentioned in your article Arlington, Virginia, where they pretty much given up on it. Are there any lessons Atlanta can learn from that experience?
One of the big lessons from Arlington was that they didn't fully get the community buy-in there. The people of Arlington were never fully convinced. While they seem to have convinced, I guess, the transportation planning community in Arlington and most of the county board, really, for a long time, was very supportive of the project, they never really managed to convince the everyday people in Arlington. And part of that, it was related to concerns about general overspending in government in general, and that they didn't necessarily trust Arlington County government to build a massive project without it going way over budget. So there's a number of concerns there, but I think the key thing is if you compare it to, say, Tucson, where it was a big success, Tucson, they started talking about doing this project in the 90s and didn't really even get it start built till 2010 or so. So it does take a long time to convince people that these types of projects, or really that any massive transit project, is going to be a good idea for them and for their community. So I think that's sort of the key lesson and the key takeaway you can take is to make sure that the people in these neighborhoods, living in these neighborhoods, want this project, are on board with this project, and are willing to support elected officials who support these projects.
And another key would be justifying it to state and federal officials because no city can afford this on its own.
Yeah, no city can afford. You know, and that being said, streetcars compared to subways are much cheaper. That's one of the reasons they become popular. But they're still very, very expensive and not something cities can typically finance on their own.
So the bottom line for Atlanta is you can look at other cities' experiences, maybe pick up a few tips, but when it comes down to deciding whether this is going to work or not, it's still uncharted territory. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, there's still really only one city in the U.S., and that's Portland, that has a fully developed streetcar network. And that's not a ton to base everything on. You're seeing a lot of other places that have started building individual lines, like Atlanta has, are now talking about greatly expanding this into networks. But there's not a ton of data here to make a judgment one way or the other as to whether or not the streetcar boom will turn out to be productive.
So for all the potential benefits, there's a lot of political and financial risk, too.
Yep.
Kevin Robillard is a transportation reporter for Politico. His article, A Streetcar Not Desired? Appeared in Politico in late December. Kevin Robillard, thanks so much for the time, and we'll check back with you and keep an eye on us.
All right. Thank you.